Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you that our sin is fully forgiven through faith in the cross of Jesus. Thank you for your mercy to us in him. As we turn to your word, the Bible, together now, please give us great confidence of our right standing with you as members of his people. We ask it in his name. Amen. Well, please do pick up one of the church Bibles. Greg's coming to read for us, and we're going to be reading from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to the end. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. You'll find that on page 1228 in the church Bibles.
I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Greg, for reading for us. Please do keep that passage open in front of you. It's a striking end to this letter. If you like books and films, you can probably think of many times when the ending has caught you by surprise. Gone with the Wind. Scarlett O'Hara doesn't get her man. The Usual Suspects. The bad guy gets away. Planet of the Apes. Turns out they were on planet Earth all along. And here's another unexpected ending. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. But where does that come from? It's completely out of the blue. This is the first time John has mentioned idols in the whole letter, right at the very end. Why does he end like this? Well, actually, it's not a final twist. John's not suddenly introducing something new with the final stroke of his pen. What he writes here makes perfect sense when we remember one of the big themes of this letter. John has been warning us against false teachers. And as far as he's concerned, false teaching is idolatry. And that's why he ends on this note. Although he's using different words, he's merely saying again what he's already said repeatedly. Keep away from false teaching. Have nothing to do with it. It may sound appealing. It might chime with the values of the surrounding culture. But it will only ever lead you away from God, not closer to him. This letter has been full of warnings to have nothing to do with it. And that's how John ends. But John also has another aim. It's how he started the letter. As well as warning us against false teachers, he wants to assure us that faith, based on the message of the apostles, is the real thing. He wants us to be confident Christians. Because if we're confident in the gospel, then false teaching will hold no attraction for us. And that's the theme of these closing paragraphs. So firstly, John wants us to be confident that our faith is the real deal. That's our first heading. Be assured that your faith is authentic. Please look down with me at verse 13. John says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." John wants us to know that we already possess eternal life through faith in Jesus. Now, there's nothing extra or different that we need. Now, false teachers may come, they may claim to have a superior form of Christianity than that preached by the apostles, to be more progressive, to have fresh insights, to be more enlightened. But they're peddling lies. They have nothing valuable to offer. They can only steal away from us what we already possess. And that's why John's written this letter. He began by assuring us that the message we have believed comes from those who were there, who saw and heard Jesus firsthand. It is dependable. And he has pointed us to the authentic marks of eternal life in our lives. Now, the fact that we are continuing in the teaching of the apostles is evidence that our faith is genuine. Our newfound and ongoing desire to obey God's commands is evidence that we've truly come to know God. Our love for one another in God's family is proof that God's love is truly in us. If we bear these birthmarks, we can be confident that we're born of God. John wants us to know that we have eternal life. We don't lack it and need to find it elsewhere. We have it already. When Sir James Simpson, who discovered chloroform, was on his deathbed, a friend asked him, "Sir, what are your speculations?" Simpson replied, "Speculations? I have no speculations." And then he quoted Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "Because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have committed to him until that day." Sir John Simpson knew that he possessed eternal life through faith in Jesus. He was confident. And we too can be confident. We can be assured that our faith is the real thing. But faith in Jesus must be an ongoing reality. We must keep persevering in faith. And we must keep encouraging one another to persevere. And that's what John moves on to next. He wants us to pray for each other's perseverance, which is our second heading. Pray for each other's perseverance. Please look down again at verses 14 to 17. Verse 14 first. John begins with the confidence we have when we come to God in prayer. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. This confidence is what comes from having a true relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. It's not a promise that God will give us anything we ask for. and we wouldn't want him to. We don't have perfect knowledge or perfect wisdom. We don't always ask for what's best. But whenever we ask anything in accordance with his good and perfect will, which he has revealed to us in the Bible, we know that he hears us and answers. And that's especially true when we pray for one another. Verse 16. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Well, sin that does not lead to death is sin committed by Christians who are forgiven through their faith in Jesus. Now, there is sin that leads to death, John says. It's the way of life of the person who rejects Jesus and refuses to repent. John probably has in view here the sin of the false teachers who deny the truth about Jesus. Such people place themselves outside of God's forgiveness. John isn't concerned with that kind of sin here. He's concerned with the sin of Christians. See, when we become a Christian, we don't stop sinning. We turn from our sins and seek to live in obedience to God. We repent of our old way of life and start to live a new life. But we don't stop sinning altogether. We don't change from being sinful to being sinless. We change from being sinners to being forgiven sinners. We all sin. Earlier in this letter, John said that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. But our sin doesn't lead to death because the cross of Christ has secured our forgiveness. We have an advocate with the Father. Imagine being in a restaurant, getting to the end of the meal and then being presented with a huge bill. But then imagine that someone reaches over your shoulder and stamps it with a rubber stamp that says, "Paid in full." Now, what a wonderful moment that would be. And that's what Jesus has done for us at the cross. That when we sin, we are guilty before God. There is a penalty to pay. But if we've repented of our sin and put our faith in the cross, then we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's as though he reaches across and stamps the charge sheet against us with the words, "Paid in full." So what John's saying here is that when we see a brother or sister commit a sin, we should pray for them. The temptation might be to gossip about them or criticize them or grumble about them. But instead, we're to pray that they will repent and bring their sin to the cross. It's a prayer that their sin won't become a pattern of life. That's part of what it means to love one another. Have you ever had one of those shopping trolleys at the supermarket that just won't go in a straight line? It has a broken wheel, and whenever you try to move forward, it just veers off in the wrong direction. Well, our sinful nature is like that broken trolley. It causes us to keep veering away from Christ. We want to follow him, but we keep veering off towards sin. And that's why we need each other. We need to keep pointing each other to Jesus so that we keep following him in the way that he wants us to go. And we need to pray for each other. So John's saying, when you see a brother or sister sin, pray for them that they would come back to Christ. Pray that they would keep persevering in repentance and faith and not let their sin harden into stubborn disobedience. And he says, if we pray for them in that way, then God will give them life. We have eternal life now. Through perseverance in the faith, we will enjoy that life fully when Christ returns. So John's promise here is that the repentant sinner will not miss out. It's a promise of resurrection life with Jesus for all who persevere in repentance and faith. So John says, pray for each other's perseverance. And finally, have confidence in Christ's safekeeping. That's our final heading. Have confidence in Christ's safekeeping. Having just urged us to pray for each other's perseverance, John ends with this great statement of confidence. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Well, as we've already said many times, this isn't perfectionism. John isn't saying that Christians never sin. But he is saying that when we become a Christian, our lives change. From that point onward, we don't carry on sinning as we did before. We learn to live a new way. Our lives are increasingly marked by obedience to God. Sin no longer controls us, and it can no longer determine our ultimate destiny. And we have this confidence because the one who was born of God, that is Jesus, keeps us safe. He sustains us, enabling us to repel Satan's attacks. Now, we can't stop ourselves from sinning through our own efforts. Willpower isn't enough. It's Jesus who keeps us safe. In John's gospel, Jesus said these wonderful words. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Jesus is stronger than our enemy. When our lives are in his hands, Satan cannot harm us. Our lives are secure. And around his hands are wrapped his Father's hands. We're doubly secure. We are safe. And that's why we can fight sin with confidence, rather than giving in to despair. It's because we know that we are safe in the hands of Jesus. And because we know that we are children in God's family. Verse 19. We know that we are children of God. And that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. It's been said that there are two types of people in the world. There are those who divide the world into two types of people. And those who don't. Well, the Bible divides the world into two types of people. There are those who are children of God, and there are those who are under the control of Satan. Now, we don't see him, but he's there, unseen, leading and organizing the world in its rebellion against God. We can only see the effect he has. When you were at school, perhaps you did an experiment with iron filings. If you pour them onto a piece of paper, you can move them around into different shapes using a magnet underneath the paper. Now, you can't see the magnet. It's hidden under the paper. But you can see its effect. Well, we can't see Satan, but we can see the effect of Satan's control of the world every time we turn on our TVs or scroll down the newsfeed on our phones. It's utterly destructive. In contrast, God leads his children in the ways of truth and life. We know that we're his children because we see the evidence of new birth in our behavior. The Holy Spirit teaches us to live differently to the world. We begin to see things differently. We fight against sin. And that's because of Jesus, verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ has brought us into the closest, most intimate relationship with God the Father. We know him and are in him, John says. And to have this relationship is to have eternal life, because God shares his indestructible life with us. This is what our assurance is grounded on. We are safe in Christ's keeping. We are children in God's family. We possess eternal life. These are truths we can be certain of. Our faith is the real thing. And it's this assurance that gives us confidence to fight sin and to resist false teachers. Verse 21, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. John's purpose in writing this letter has been to give us assurance that we truly know God through faith in Jesus, and that we have eternal life in his name. Any teaching about God that contradicts his self-revelation in Jesus, handed down to us by his apostles, must be rejected. John's saying, be confident and be on your guard. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the life we have in Christ. Please help us to be confident Christians and to guard ourselves from being led astray from the good news about him passed down to us by his apostles. We ask it in his name. Amen.